We'll see where this leads.
The Spirit may be among us more than we realize.
Today is the third Sunday of the great 50 days of Easter, our season of celebration and joy as we reflect on the astounding goodness and mercy and love that God has revealed to the world through the resurrection event. On Easter Sunday, we listen to the story of Mary Magdalene, who went to the tomb where Jesus was buried so early in the morning that it was still dark. And Jesus appeared and said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" But Mary, in her grief and bewilderment, was unable to recognize her Lord until he spoke her name, Mary. And then it was plain. It was plain who he was and that he was indeed alive. So she ran to tell the apostles. But then we learned last Sunday that none of the apostles believed Mary's words until Jesus appeared to them in the locked room. But remember also that Thomas wasn't present. And Thomas refused to believe the testimony of all his close friends, just like they had refused to believe Mary. That is, until Jesus stood before him. And you remember that Jesus invites Thomas to touch his wounds. And he said, "Do not doubt, but believe." Did Thomas believe because he touched Jesus? The story doesn't say that. The story says only that Thomas's reservations and doubts melted instantly when Jesus spoke with him. And then he exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Now today is the last story during Easter in which Jesus appears before his followers, on the day of the resurrection at least. Three different stories. Like the apostles who were locked in their room, the two walking to Emmaus also heard Mary's witness, but they did not accept it as true. I cannot blame them for their skepticism. Can you? I cannot blame or judge anyone today if you doubt or do not believe, because I know that experience all too well. But my friends, this is why these stories are the good news of the gospel. These stories of disciples who tried to follow and failed. Stories of people who have much faith and people who have little faith. People who have been with the Lord from the very beginning and people who are brand new to the community, just like us. These are the living stories that speak directly to our lives and to what we know to be real, and to what we hope for. Now, one way that we pray is with Scripture, called Lectio Divina, holy reading. The way it works is you make yourself your whole self, not mind and body, that's a silly Hellenistic Greek idea, but your whole self open to the idea that God is speaking to you in the readings we have heard today, in the gospel, in the hymns, in everything that we do. God is here. God is speaking to you through the language of prayer in Scripture. And that by slowly reading and slowly listening, you may find yourself in the presence of something new and something true. Because you see, it isn't what you bring to the Scripture that defines your encounter with God, that makes it holy. It is what you are open to. If you bring assumptions here or in your prayers at home or wherever you may be, if you bring assumptions, then that is all you will encounter, yourself. Who here has not been so deeply hurt by another person or by an institution, maybe the church, or family, that just hearing that name or seeing them from a distance so changes your perspective that for a time you no longer have space for anything else but for feelings of hurt or anger? I expect that that is what these two followers of Jesus on the way to Emmaus were feeling. They could not recognize Jesus, the resurrected Christ, as they walked on that trip. They were so overwhelmed with fear and anger and sorrow for what had happened to their beloved teacher, their leader. They were consumed with feelings. Or to use a religious term, they were bound. Bound by feelings that diminish life. And they could not be present on the road to the stranger who joined them. They couldn't make the space. They were holding on to their assumptions. They weren't listening. Now, like those two disciples, we also are drawn to follow Jesus. 2,000 years after the resurrection event, that we continue to believe and that we also believe that we encounter the risen Christ in one another. At least that is our claim. Part of the good news is that God's promise is true whether or not we are faithful. No matter what, God is present. No matter what, God loves you. So how do we find it so fleeting and so difficult to perceive the overwhelming presence of love in Jesus in our daily life? It is us, not God, who fails to be fully present. It is we who cannot see what is right in front of us, God's presence, because we are so distracted by the things that draw us away from our faith. When we choose those daily habits of living that don't feed and water our faith, what hope is there that we'll encounter Christ among us? And yet, part of the good news of Easter is that the two Emmaus disciples are us. They are so distracted, they don't even recognize the risen Lord walking with them, speaking to them, teaching them, just as he had done in his whole ministry. They are us. And more than that, the story bears out that Jesus comes among us in the ordinary ways. In the ordinary places of our lives. We don't have to have a burning bush experience. We don't have to be struck by a bolt of lightning to encounter God. Perhaps during times when we are bound by the past, by what has gone wrong, by what we had hoped for that did not come to pass, those are the places where God meets us. Always is present and supports us. Those two men who encountered Jesus on the way to Emmaus were blind to God's presence until they turned their attention from what had gone wrong to what Jesus had taught them. At that moment, at the moment when you and I attend to what we have and not to what we lack, at the moment when we trust God to be present and to uphold us no matter what, in that moment, Christ is known to us as surely as Jesus is present here, now, in the sacraments, in your neighbor in the pew. Like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, we will be blind to see what is right in front of us. We will doubt the truth of the good news because we will become distracted. But that is why the followers of Jesus began to gather after the resurrection, because they had an experience and they shared it with one another. They sang songs and they prayed and they celebrated communion together. Communion with God and with one another through Christ in the sacraments. Just as we gather today, and we are the body of Christ, we are participating in something that is greater than the limits of our perception. Something that sustains us and feeds us, that enlarges the boundaries of our hearts. Jesus took bread. He blessed and broke it, and he gave it to them. The eyes of their faith were opened, and they knew that the same Jesus who was crucified, who was buried, is risen and is full of life. And having encountered the risen Lord, they ran all the way back to Jerusalem to gather with their brothers and sisters to sing songs and to pray, just as we gather today, to sing songs and to pray and to participate in union with each other, union with Christ, with God. All of this through the power of the resurrection. After the fraction anthem, after the fraction, the breaking of the bread. I don't know if we're singing it today, but there is an anthem, a song in the hymnal that's available. And it says this: "Be known to us, Lord Jesus, in the breaking of the bread. The bread which we break, alleluia, is the communion of the body of Christ. One body are we, alleluia, for though many, we share one bread. Be known to us, Lord Jesus, in the breaking of the bread." Amen.